VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Friends, we thank you for joining us today on Crosstalk for a program we trust you'll find to be very informative and also one in which it's going to spur you to action, certainly to have a measure of disgust internally, but then to take that disgust and to act upon it as well. You'll learn more about it here in just a moment, but I want us to understand, first of all, how far we've gone as a society to kill the most vulnerable amongst us. I mean, I'm speaking of babies in the womb, whether it's using chemical substances to burn them alive or whether it's decapitation or dismemberment or any of a number of other means to take the life of a defenseless baby. And there are those both in office and those who are running for office who believe these barbaric practices, well, they should be approved to the moment of birth. Is it any wonder why we have so much violence in our society today when our nation is given their stamp of approval on violence in the womb? And at the same time, the mantra we hear across this nation is a mantra that proclaims Black Lives Matter. Yet the precious black lives in the wombs of their mothers not only do not matter to some, but they are actually targeted. The very roots of Planned Parenthood since Roe v. Wade. I mean, they're, even prior to Roe v. Wade, and the very roots of Planned Parenthood, going back many, many years, actually was for the purpose of targeting black babies in the womb. According to numberofabortions.com, since Roe v. Wade, 1973 Supreme Court decision, there have been more than 18,662,172 black babies in the U.S. killed by abortion. Why don't these black lives matter? Our guest today is calling for a congressional investigation to defund big abortion for matters related to racial discrimination and hate crimes. Joining us, we welcome Mark Crutcher. Mark is the founder and director of Life Dynamics. He may be best known for his bold undercover operations that have exposed shocking, even illegal activities inside the abortion industry. Life Dynamics is the producer of Maafa 21, which exposes the black genocide that's underway in the 21st century. Mark, thank you for joining us today.
It is my pleasure, Jim. I hadn't talked to you in a while.
It's been a while, Mark. Good to have you back. I couldn't help but give you a call as you know, we hear so much going on with Black Lives Matter today, and you, Life Dynamics, produced a video. You released it summer of 2009, Maafa 21, and you, in this video, just really revealed the very racist beginnings of Planned Parenthood, and I believe it's absolutely critical, especially in this day and age in which we are, for people to know, Mark, the attitude of Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, and her attitude toward the black population. Fill us in. Tell us about those racist origins of Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, we started a research project several years ago. It took us over 3 years to do all the research for this documentary to show that the original motivation for the legalization of abortion had nothing at all whatsoever to do with women's rights or reproductive freedom or choice or any of the other euphemisms you hear. It was strictly a eugenics practice to wipe out primarily the black community, but all minorities, but primarily the target was the black community. And I think that we more than proved our point. I mean, the movie has been out for 9 years. I have challenged, for 11 years, came out in 2009. I've challenged the abortion lobby to go through the movie and tell me any place we made a mistake, any place we said something that wasn't true, any conclusion we drew that there was no evidence for. And I'm still waiting on the first person to do that.
My.
They know exactly what the history of their own organization is, and it was racism, black genocide, and eugenics. And the interesting thing about this is that when we first started studying this, one of the things that we stumbled across was that the first anti-abortion organizations in America, the first people to really jump on board with trying to prevent abortion from being legalized back in the 60s, was not pro-life groups, well, not Christian groups, it wasn't churches. It was the radical, what we would call the radical civil rights groups, Black Panthers, Nation of Islam. These groups were the first ones to recognize that abortion was being pushed, the legality of abortion was being pushed at that time as a way to get rid of the Black community.
Mm.
Even someone like that you and I probably wouldn't find a lot of things to agree with him, Elijah Muhammad, wrote a book called A Message to the Black Man in America. He has two entire chapters in that book talking about the issue of white liberals pushing for the legalization of abortion and birth control, pushing widespread use of birth control in the Black community as an instrument of eugenics. He openly talked about that. So these people recognized what was going on back in those days. When the pro-life movement came along, of course, we fought it against abortion on a moral basis, just strictly that it was wrong, and that's true. But we never picked up on the fact that the real motivation for it was race. That was the original motivation for the legalization of abortion.
Yeah, and Margaret Sanger, I mean, she actually used a, she wanted to exterminate. I mean, and she used that term exterminate when she referred to what we would call the African-American population.
Yes. I mean, you can go to our website, lifedynamics.com, and we have all of her writings, all of her books, her birth control review, everything. We have all of that online. People can research it. This woman, but she was not the only one. She was just one of the many, but she was the most public figure. They were eugenicists, and they were openly pushing to create what they called a race of thoroughbreds. And we came out with MAAFA 21 to expose that reality to the American people. And it has been extraordinarily successful. We have seen an explosion of Black people coming into the pro-life movement since MAAFA 21 came out. We can document over 2 million people have watched the documentary. They can go to we have a website just for it called MAAFA21.com.
Mm-hmm.
They can go there and order a DVD if they want, or they can watch it for free on the website.
And Mark, let me just interrupt you for a moment here. And folks, MAAFA21, that's MAAFA21.com.
Right.
MAAFA21.com. You can go there and watch this thing, you know, this video for free. It's a documentary here on abortion and its targeting of minority communities here in the United States. MAAFA21.com. And Mark, it's a powerful film when one really sees the history of the abortion movement and the targeting of African Americans.
Yeah, it's astonishing, and I had known this for a long time. That was the reason that I wanted to do the documentaries, because I was aware of this. But I didn't realize until we started doing the research on it. Again, that took us over 3 years. I didn't realize how deep it went. I knew it was a problem, but I didn't know the depth of it or the width of it, how broad it was. But this was a major event in American history. And the interesting thing is now, and I think that's the motivation behind your call at this point, we are now starting to see, and of course the abortion lobby has denied everything that we're saying here for years, that there was no race involved.
And Mark, before you go current, I want to, there's something that you've said on one of your sites that just, it's got to make our ears perk up. Here's what you said. What the Ku Klux Klan could only dream about, the abortion industry is accomplishing.
Right.
And that's a staggering statement. And I think, you know, I'm going to say it again. What the Ku Klux Klan could only dream about, the abortion industry is accomplishing. Can you back that up?
Well, let's make a point here. In over 150 years, the Ku Klux Klan killed fewer Black people than the American abortion industry kills in less than a week.
My.
Every week, they kill more Black people than the Ku Klux Klan killed in 150 years. And they have, you know, we hear a lot these days about voter suppression, for example. And there is nothing that has ever suppressed minority voting and political power like abortion. And this is what it was intended to do. That we have quotes throughout MAAFA 21 showing that this is exactly what the people who were pushing for the legalization of abortion intended for it to do, was to reduce black political power. And that's what it's done. And that's what it's continuing to do. Right now, black women make up a little over 12% of the American female population, but they have over 30% of all the abortions. And in some cases, in some parts of America right now, as you and I speak, more black babies are aborted than are born.
My.
Think about that. More black babies being aborted than being allowed to be born.
Mark, just as we see politicians using the church today, Margaret Sanger, she actually wanted to hire black pastors to help her in her efforts. Is that right?
Yeah, she said that, you know, the way to do away with the claim is that people will make that we're going after the black community is to hire black pastors. They're the people who can dissuade their, I think she called them rebellious members, if they come up with the idea that we're doing this to get rid of the black community, which she openly was. And so they manipulated the black church, and they continue to do so to a large degree, even to this day.
Well, and I think it's important to note, some black pastors are still touting that same message. I just saw August 24th, ChristianHeadlines.com. There's a pastor of a Georgia megachurch running for U.S. Senate, Raphael Warnock, senior pastor at Ebenezer Baptist Church. They're affiliated with the Progressive National Baptist Convention in Atlanta. A Democratic candidate said that he believes legalized abortion is consistent with Christianity and would fight to ensure it remains legal, saying this, Mark, I believe that health care is a human right. I believe that it's sometimes that the richest nation in the world provides for its citizens. And for me, reproductive justice is consistent with my commitment to that. Incidentally, he's endorsed by Planned Parenthood. But, black pastors are still being used to propagate this message.
And let's make sure people understand something. This man is not a black pastor. He's a black heretic. And there's a distinction. He can call himself a pastor all day long. He can call himself a car and change his name to Cadillac. That doesn't make him one. So he's a heretic. And, you know, I would ask anybody out there who thinks that it's possible. It's not even, you have to believe in unicorns to believe it's possible to be a pro-choice Christian. But I would ask you, is it not true that two fundamental tenets of Christianity are that God is the author of life?
Mm-hmm.
Is that not one of them?
Yes, sir.
Is another one that God is not capable of making mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't make mistakes.
Right.
From that, you can only conclude then that when there's a new life in a womb, that it's God's will that it be there. He created it, and he doesn't make mistakes. So how can you then come along and say that he's indifferent to whether we kill that life or not?
Mark Crutcher, our guest here today on Crosstalk, the racism of the abortion industry. But, folks, it doesn't just go back to the origins of groups like Planned Parenthood. No, we're going to talk about in our next segment what is going on today and why is our guest today calling for a congressional investigation to defund big abortion. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, where did the idea come from that there were little green men who lived on Mars?
Chris, the idea that there was intelligent life on Mars was given a big boost in the late 19th century when the American astronomer Percival Lowell claimed that he saw linear features on Mars, which he claimed were canals. Later, it became obvious that the Martian atmosphere could not support advanced forms of life, so they've given up the idea. What they haven't given up is the idea that there might be microbes on Mars, single-cell life. This idea is fueling the modern expeditions to Mars to find water. The idea is if they can find water, then maybe there's life. But while water is a necessary condition for life, it's not sufficient. Life is much too complex to have formed haphazardly. It needs a lot more than water. NASA could save a lot of money by going back to Genesis for their starting point.
Thank you, Dr. John. This is Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.
the racism of the abortion industry. And folks, with all the media coverage of Black Lives Matter, this is not one of the issues that they're telling you about, but it's one you need to know about. Mark Crutcher is with us today. He is founder and director of Life Dynamics. And by the way, again, please take time to look at Ma'afa 21. You can watch it free online. Ma'afa, that's MAAFA21.com. If you can't remember that, remember lifedynamics.com, and that will get you to the many sites that they are operating through this organization, lifedynamics.com, but you can go directly to ma'afa21.com as well. Mark, it's not only the very origins of Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry. We now have employees of abortion organizations like Planned Parenthood, like NARAL, that are actually calling out the racism and hypocrisy that is going on in our present day. Tell us what's happening.
Yeah, just a few weeks ago, we started seeing employees of Planned Parenthood facilities come forward saying that they witnessed overt racism and widespread racism within Planned Parenthood, and were some of the black employees were saying they were actually the victims of it inside Planned Parenthood. Then other pro-choice organizations started having employees leave or come forward, former employees come forward saying that they witnessed exactly the same things in their organizations. Now, in just the last few days, some employees and board members of the National Organization for Women, one of the most radical pro-abortion organizations in America, made identical charges to that group to the point that its national president, Tony Van Pelt, resigned a couple of days ago. You also have staffers with National Abortion Rights Action League, Pro-Choice America, publicly accusing their organizations of racism. At this point, their leader has not resigned. And now there's starting to be other charges of racism being brought against the American Association of University Women and the Feminist Majority Foundation. So they've been denying this for years. We knew they were lying all along. And now their own people are coming forward. And by the way, it's not that these are people who've changed their mind on abortion. These are people, many of whom, are saying, look, I'm adamantly pro-choice. I'm still in favor of legalized abortion. But this is what we're seeing inside these organizations. So this is not like a bunch of pro-lifers or newly pro-life people making these allegations. These are people who are on their side but are finally saying, we've had it. We can't defend this anymore.
Yeah, so from within, they're calling out the racism of the pro-abortion groups. They're calling out not only the racism, but really, Mark, the hypocrisy.
The hypocrisy of it. And, you know, it's kind of unrealistic. You know, people are saying, oh, I'm shocked at this. And I've heard some pro-aborts lately say, I'm astonished that this is actually happening and shocked at it. How can you be shocked at it if you know the history of the legalization of abortion and what launched all these organizations? How stupid do you have to be to think that organizations that started as an instrument of racism and black genocide are then going to treat their African-American and employees and clients properly? What would make you think that an organization – it'd be like going to work for the Ku Klux Klan and saying, man, I saw overt racism at the Ku Klux Klan. That's outrageous. Well, sure you saw it. That's what they're there for. Well, these organizations like Planned Parenthood have exactly the same agenda. They're just better at PR than the Klan. And it is an outrage that we're giving hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars every year to these organizations. There is as much just moral justification to fund the Ku Klux Klan as there is to fund these organizations.
Nice. So, Mark, when our tax dollars and are going to Planned Parenthood, in essence, not only is there money assisting in their efforts to kill babies in the womb, but we're actually funding racism, is that right?
Absolutely. There isn't. I challenge anyone to tell me how that's not true. If these organizations were started as instruments of racial genocide and as instruments of eugenics, and now they're continuing to focus their facilities in minority communities, we have a wildly disproportionate number of black women having abortions to the point that In some places, parts of America, more black babies are aborted than born. And now all of these people are coming forward saying, yes, I was in Planned Parenthood for years, or I was in NARAL for years, and I saw this widespread, overt, horrible racism there and was the victim of it myself, and we're supposed to be shocked at this?
Mark, just a couple hours before this program today, I went to Planned Parenthood Action's website, and I found this, and I found it very interesting. They say, and they have a section called Black Lives Matter, and they said, the Planned Parenthood Advocacy Fund stands in solidarity with the black community, and we join them in demanding justice and accountability. Then they go on to say this: all officers who have participated in the murder or assault of black people must be arrested and prosecuted to the full extent of the law. And I read that, Mark, and I said, haven't they just submitted their own arrest warrant with that statement?
I don't know how you would argue against that conclusion. I mean, this is the hypocrisy of these people, I don't think, knows any bounds. I don't think there's any limits to it. But I'm telling you, what I have seen in the last couple of weeks, Jim, is that the wheels are coming off of this. And I think that you can see kind of how some of these people are responding to it, that they are terrified that the wheels are coming off of this. Right now, Jim, the only thing that's protecting them, the only thing, is the fact that the godless mainstream media is not saying a word about this.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to imagine for a moment, Jim, let's say that former employees of National Right to Life, or former employees of mine, or former employees of Focus on the Family, or all the conservative pro-life organizations in this country, a bunch of employees from the former employees from these organizations were coming out and making these exact same claims. I'm going to guarantee you that story would be the lead story on every national broadcast for weeks. That would be the only thing they would be covering. But because it's people on their side of this issue, they're not saying a word. Have you seen this covered on CNN or MSNBC or ABC News or CBS News or NBC News? And the answer is no, you haven't seen that. I'll answer for you, because I know you hadn't seen it, because
right,
you hadn't done it. This is an outrage. And that's the only thing right now that's protecting them. And if I were on the pro-abortion side, if I were in the abortion lobby, I would be mortally terrified that a time would come when the media could no longer avoid covering this story. Because the minute they do, it's going to be a problem for them. It's going to be a major problem.
Folks, Mark Crutcher with us today from Life Dynamics, and here we just had Housing and Urban Development Secretary Ben Carson, who was recently, I believe, was on Meet the Press and made the statement that, he said the real racism located within abortion. He said what is racist is the fact that African Americans have the highest abortion rate. President Trump is the most pro-life president in our country's history. He will continue to fight for those who cannot yet speak. Carson stated that black babies are killed at higher rates in abortions than babies of other races. So Ben Carson speaking out here on that issue recently. And then, Mark, I noticed also just yesterday, we have a congressman, this is Congressman Fulcher, who has again, for a second time, sent a letter to the Smithsonian calling for the removal of the Margaret Sanger display from the National Portrait Gallery because of her racist legacy. And so we have the halls of these institutions that are seeking to honor those who are very much opposed to even the phrase Black Lives Matter, because they don't believe it, and even if they say the words, it is only to further an agenda, not truly that they care about black babies that are being killed through abortion.
It's absolutely right. And I mean, if you're going to tear down a statue of Robert E. Lee or Stonewall Jackson, why would you walk past a statue of Margaret Sanger to do that?
Yeah.
I mean, it makes no sense. And or just ignore the fact that the things that these people stood for. It's utterly outrageous. And whatever credibility you think a an organization like Black Lives Matter has or doesn't have, whatever you think about them, whatever credibility you give them, that's completely wiped out with issues like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if people are going to go out here burning buildings, I mean, if you're going to burn down a black laundromat in a black community over racism, and yet there's a Planned Parenthood in that same neighborhood, and you're not there, I'm not calling for anybody to burn down any of them.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying there's a hypocrisy there that is absolutely breathtaking when you think about it.
Mark, you're calling for a congressional investigation to defund what you've termed big abortion here. What action are you suggesting takes place?
Well, just that. First off, I think that one of the things we're going to be calling for is I think that President Trump ought to immediately, by executive order, if that's possible, terminate all funding to these organizations pending an investigation. And I think Congress then should start bringing out these employees, subpoena them if they have to, and get a handle on this racism that they're talking about inside these organizations for a couple of reasons. First off, like I said, the funding ought to be stopped right now and not returned. But I think there should also be these hearings to determine if these organizations, how long this history of racism goes back. And you and I know it goes back to the prior to when abortion was legalized.
Mm-hmm.
Once we've documented that through these hearings, I think these organizations should be sued by the federal government for the return of funds that they got in the past, not just stopping future funds, but the return of the funds that they've taken in the past because they took those funds under fraudulent conditions. And so that money should be returned to the federal treasury. And, of course, that would bankrupt these organizations. Planned Parenthood has received billions and billions of dollars over the years from the federal government, which they could never repay. But that's not the point. The point is that that's what justice demands.
Yeah. Friends, you can contact your members of the House and members of the Senate. There's phone numbers you may call. The main switchboard to the Senate is 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. And the member of the House is 202-225-3121. And, Mark, if you were on the line with your congressman right now, what would you be asking in this regard?
Just what I said.
Mm-hmm.
We want congressional hearings to be held on these people. We want to drag them in front of Congress and make them defend. Drag the leaders of these organizations, whichever one of them have not resigned and moved out. And, you know, these people are dropping out. They're abandoning the ship like it's on fire. These rats are jumping ship. But they need to be brought before Congress. They need to be subpoenaed and brought there. And these employees need to be listened to. And here, whatever kind of racism has been going on here, we wouldn't tolerate this in any other environment.
We're talking about the racism of the abortion industry. Folks, our phone line is open. Let's take your questions, your brief comments, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Do you see the hypocrisy of what's going on, folks? The racism of the abortion industry? 800-733-9829.
Imagine if you could change society's stance on abortion.
How do you feel about the issue of abortion?
I think in some situations it can be necessary.
So if you just changed your mind about abortion?
Yeah.
Would you have a vote for someone who was for the killing of children in the womb?
No.
I believe in someone's right to choose.
Are you going to change your stance on it?
Yeah, it's definitely making me think, yeah.
What was the compelling question to change people's minds on abortion? From Ray Comfort comes the DVD, 180. Featuring street interviews in which people who were pro-abortion changed 180 degrees to pro-life.
So have you just changed your mind about abortion?
Yeah.
180 is available for a donation to VCY of just $5. 5 copies for a donation of $18, or 10 copies for a donation of $25. Call 1-800-729-9829. Ask for the DVD, 180.
Why is it that only certain black lives matter? Don't all black lives matter? Doesn't the black life in the womb matter? Friends, we're talking about the racism of the abortion industry today. Mark Crutcher is with us from Life Dynamics. And our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Mark, I understand that you've got, actually, you're launching a petition to get to members of Congress. Is that correct?
Exactly. And it's on, if you can go to lifedynamics.com/defundracism. We're trying to get as many people as possible to sign up to demand. And we're not asking, we're demanding. This is an area where we've got to be aggressive. We're demanding a congressional investigation or congressional hearings into this issue of racism in these organizations that are receiving hundreds of millions of dollars in our money. They're taking money out of my check and out of your check and out of all the checks of the people that are listening to this show to give to these organizations. We have a right to know what's going on inside there.
LifeDynamics.com/defundracism. And there you'll find the petition. That's lifedynamics.com/defundracism. We're going to the phone lines right now, and we do have a couple lines available yet at 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Let's go to Manny in Maricopa, Arizona. Manny, you're on the air.
One of my thoughts, you know, I talk to people about abortion, especially ones that are pro-abortion, is, you know, people like to think that humanity has advanced where, you know, genocide and murder and all this stuff doesn't happen yet. The biggest unknown genocide is abortion, and I find it pathetic that people will cry and go crazy about a dog, you know, or a puppy that's killed but has no sympathy, no remorse for a human. So this is just like in the Old Testament when you know they're basically sacrificing their babies to woe to Baal. So humanity has always remained the same. That's my take on it.
Yeah, and thank you for the comment here today. Indeed, sacrificing their children, their babies to Molech, and Mark he brings out a very interesting point there.
Yes, he does, and I think too we have to. Look internally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Scripture makes it clear that judgment begins in the house of the Lord.
Yeah.
And one of the primary reason, and I've been in this battle almost 40 years full time, the primary reason that abortion remains legal in America today is the cowardice of the church. The church keeps looking the other way. If 10% of the pastors in this country would stand in front of their congregation and say, "You can fire me if you want to, or you can get rid of me, or excommunicate me, or whatever it is that you want to do. But as long as I'm leading this church, we're going to take a stand against the wholesale slaughter of our unborn brothers and sisters." If 10% of them would do that, this battle is over.
Wow. Are we willing to do that, Mark? As you said, you know, so often we want to point the fingers externally, but we need to examine ourselves, examine our churches in this regard.
I mean, you have a church, we have one right here in Denton, that openly supports legalized abortion.
Right. And
you just mentioned earlier this black pastor at this church in Georgia. And even the ones who don't openly support it, if they don't openly oppose it, if they're not doing anything to stop it, that's tacit approval.
Hmm. Let's go to Jan calling from Wisconsin. You're on the air, Jan.
Yes, I'd like to ask for the information to use to flood, to ask the, I want the listeners to help me flood the office of our governor, especially Tony Evers in Wisconsin, asking him to not allow Planned Parenthood to come into our public schools. Their aim is going to be to teach the children to self-pleasure themselves and sexual liberation, but he needs to know about the 18 million black babies that this organization represents having killed. We have to talk to them. How do you do that?
Well, you're going to have to get the people of your state to demand. You know, I think one of the things that the pro-life Christian conservative community has done is we've been too nice. We go with our hot hat in our hand and say, "Would you please look at this?" The other side demands action when they see a problem that affects them. That's what we've got to do. We've got to start holding these people's feet to the fire and demanding that they're looking at these issues like this.
Thank you. And
phone
by
number and website. Well,
that's easy to find on the line on line here, Jan. His number, I know it by heart. It's 608-266-1212. We'll take you to the governor's office in Wisconsin, 608-266-1212.
Help us, everybody. Let's flood his office with calls like that.
Thank you for your call here. Let's go to Andy in New Mexico. You're on the air, Andy.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for taking my call. You know, I'm going to be a little harsh. You know, shame on all us Christians. This has been going on for a long time, and that after the BLM movement, now we're getting more and more aware of it. But we've got a lot of precedents, even like the Bushes and so forth, you know, and they're supposedly conservative, and you know, nothing was ever really done. You know, like your guest says, you know, everything starts at the house of God, you know, and the chastisement starts at the house of God. And shame on us, because we haven't done our homework, and it's gotten to this, and who knows how more bad it's going to get.
Yeah.
So, you know, shame on me, shame on all the Christians that we've allowed it to get this far, you know. And but you know, while there's life, there's hope. We can change things around, and most of all, you know, through prayer and pray for our president and those that support him, you know, because it's very important, because this year's it's the turning point. I believe if our last chance to turn things around, this election's going to be it. If it doesn't, then I don't know. God help us. But
thank you, Andy, for the call. Mark, as I've heard you talk previously, when it comes to politicians, you say, don't listen to what they say they're going to do. Look what they do.
Right, exactly. And, you know, one of the things that I've been adamant about for years is that one of the mistakes that we make is when somebody runs for office, we ask them what their position on abortion is. That's a major mistake. We do not need to be asking them for their position on abortion. You can even get raging pro-aborts like Hillary Clinton. Her position is that every abortion is a failure and a tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
That was her position last time. Do not ask these people their position on abortion. We don't care what their position on abortion is. We don't want to know it. We don't want to care how they feel about abortion. The only thing that matters is, do you believe that the unborn child from the moment of fertilization and in all circumstances is a living human being? Do you believe that or don't you? If they say they do, then we need to ask them, okay, is every action that you take in office going to be consistent with that view? If we ask them, we can ask them, we can get the answers that we need without ever mentioning the word abortion. Because every one of these people, and if the last 50 years have taught us anything, it's taught us this. Every one of these people, whether they claim to be pro-life or they claim to be pro-choice, they're all going to tell you things like, oh, I'm pro-choice, but I'm uncomfortable with abortion. I would never have one. That's why. I can give you 10 different positions that these people will take, even the people that are pro-abortion. But if you ask them the very simple question, is the unborn child a living human being entitled to have its life protected just like every other living human being, then that tells you everything you need to know about that person's position on this issue.
Let's go to Chester in Salem, West Virginia. Chester, you're on the air.
Yeah, first, thank you for taking my call, and I was listening to the statement he made. Do we agree that it's a living, breathing life? And to me, once conception is done, it is living.
Mm-hmm.
And according to our Constitution, everybody has the right to life and the pursuit of happiness. So it's gone beyond the abortion, and it's taken actually the constitutional rights away.
Yeah. Well, the other thing you point out here too, it's also a fact of science, and so you've got science deniers who say no, that's not life, and they'll throw science deniers at people who are in opposition to the so-called man-made global climate change. But Mark, this is really science deniers when it comes to that this indeed is life. This is indeed human.
Oh yeah, I get so angry when I see these people, and I saw a clip today from Biden, him saying, we're going to believe in the science. He's talking about COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're going to follow the science. We're going to believe in the science. And but the media never says, well, do you follow the science when it comes to the abortion issue?
Yeah.
Do you follow the science in there? Because every science textbook you're ever going to see will tell you that life begins at the moment of fertilization. That's when life begins. This is, this argument that we don't know when life begins is nonsense. We all know when life begins.
Yeah. Chester, thanks for the call.
You too. And one thing I wanted to point out was when God created man in his likeness and image and formed him out of the dust of the ground, he never became a living soul until God breathed the breath of life in him. Mm-hmm. And I believe that with fertilization, that's when that thing starts living.
It is the human being. Thank you, Chester. Larry, in Hamlin, Iowa, you're on the air.
Yes. I have a comment. 53 years ago, my wife and I now were married, and she had she become pregnant. We knew it was the right thing to do, so we got married. I think now, on this subject we're talking about, and the man you're talking with, he touched on it, and this is, the church is backed out of the picture. I think if the church was more supportive of the man that the lady became pregnant, the man that caused it was took in and maybe counseled a little bit by us Christians, if we reached out a little more to people instead of staying away from them, maybe this thing would change too. There wouldn't be as many babies aborted. But it's like we don't look into that because, you know, it's just going to happen.
Okay.
Well, sure it's going to happen.
Well, Larry, we're going to have Mark respond to it. Thank you for the call. Mark?
Well, first off, there's a fallacy in what he is saying there in that our goal is not to reduce the number of abortions. He said we would reduce the number of abortions that might happen. That's not the goal. The goal is to return legal protection to those children, every single one of them, not just reduce the numbers of them that are being killed. But there is a legitimate role for the church to play in this issue of marriage and basically child rearing, because I think what we're doing today is we're raising a bunch of males that stay little boys until they're in their 40s. And that's a problem. We're not raising young men, we're raising boys. And I think that's a real problem, and it lends itself to this abortion issue.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for the call here, Larry. We're just seconds from the break. Mark Crutcher is with us. We're going to be taking more phone calls here in our final segment as well, 800-733-9829. Again, you'll find a petition at lifedynamics.com/defundracism. lifedynamics.com/defundracism. The other site we gave out earlier, again, to watch for free, Maafa 21. That is maafa21.com, maafa21.com. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more of your phone calls. This is Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. There appears to be an economic collapse happening globally. There appears to be geopolitical issues occurring globally that are not good. There is the rattling of sabers with Russia and China. So much that is happening. What is next? Perhaps what we need to be prepared for next is a complete and total collapse of evangelicalism as we know it. Satan's goal is to destroy the church. Thankfully, we know the gates of hell will not prevail. But sadly, recent news stories reveal to us that, once again, not all is as it seems in the evangelical world when it comes to the standards being followed or not followed by evangelical leaders. Don't be shocked in the coming years as more comes out about evangelical leaders. Satan desires for many to turn against the church and then to use those who have failed as a standard to say all Christians are frauds and then bring the persecution. Are you ready for persecution?
Crutcher is here today from Life Dynamics. If you miss those websites, we'll try and give those out here again before we close the broadcast. We're going right back to the phone lines, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Joe, thank you for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Yes. My question, actually comment, was about the failure of the church, because when you look at kids nowadays that are banning the church when they see that the church is not taking a stand on abortion, the pornography that's freely accessible to young children that could easily be shot down because it's illegal, and I think that's a big part of the reason why the young kids are just leaving the church.
Mm. Okay, thank you, Joe. Mark, I think the foundations be destroyed. What can the righteous do?
We can start putting true men and women of God in the positions of authority and leadership in the church and return to the days when the church actually stood for something. Right now, most communities, if you took the churches out of them, the community wouldn't be much different than it is right now.
Yeah.
And so that begs the question, what are they doing?
Let's go to Sardinia, Ohio. Linda, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air with Mark Crutcher.
Yes, my comment is I was born and raised on a farm, and I know when life begins. And what in 1973, when they legalized abortion, that's one of the first things I said, where's the church?
Mm.
Anyway, and the reason I like President Trump so much, because his campaign promise was to stop abortion, and he has tried. But the left just keeps on fighting him, and I say that we need to give Trump 4 more years. And the trouble that I'm having is in my church, there's tons of Democrats, and they will not change their mind.
Hmm.
And they call themselves Christians. Well, anyway, we're going to have to pray like crazy.
Thank you, Linda, for your call here today. Mark, I mean, if a person wants to follow Scripture, and we see as we open up Scripture, it says that God hates the hands that shed innocent blood.
That's right. And you know, touched on the subject of people who support legalized abortion but call themselves Christians. We have a duty to confront those people. I mean, a duty not only to the unborn, but a duty to those people themselves, because they're hellbound the way they're looking at things.
Yeah. James is calling from Wisconsin. James, you're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have basically a theoretical question or a hypothetical one. Could the radical left be basically pushing the abortion issues to weaken the United States, the next generation, for this global takeover, the one world order?
I don't think there's any doubt about that. To me, I mean, what we have to understand is what Scripture tells us, that we do not battle against flesh, right?
Yeah.
We battle against powers and principalities, and this is a part of that.
Yeah.
What we're seeing today, and you can see now in some of the stuff that's happening with these Antifa and Black Lives Matter rallies, where they're burning Bibles, literally
mm-hmm.
burning Bibles.
Yeah.
And when people show up, there's video right now you can go online and see of Christians showing up at these places trying to minister, and they're overtly attacking these people and doing some of the most ungodly things that you can possibly imagine, and saying some things that are just absolute blasphemy. And I think that one of the things that's happening here is what I call the godless left realizes that this is a spiritual battle, and we don't realize it. So many of our people don't recognize that it's a spiritual battle, but that's what it is at its core, and it will always be that.
Thank you, James. We're going to Solomon in Santa Fe, New Mexico. You're on the air, Solomon.
Oh, good evening. Good afternoon. Well, I was just trying to ask, because the other day I met this little girl about 19, and she was pregnant and had no money. All her friends have deserted her. Isn't the church supposed to be in this area looking at this problem face-to-face instead of going to the next stage of it? The first stage, as I see it, is kids are getting pregnant because boys or men don't know better. Why is the church not putting all of its effort there? Why go into the other pile and not talking about how the kids would even be taken care of when they have been born?
Mm-hmm.
So why is the church not there? I think that's supposed to be our.
So why is the church not there? Why is the church not there to help this woman? Is that what you're saying? Okay, Mark, your thoughts.
That's a really good question. You need to be asking them that question. And this is, you know, I remember years ago, churches not wanting to get involved in this issue of teen pregnancy or whatever, and I think one of the fears was that if you start supporting girls who are pregnant or young women who are pregnant, that you will encourage women to get pregnant, which is nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
No girl goes out and says, I'm going to get pregnant because the church is going to help me. That's not what happens. We have a duty to help these girls, and we should be helping them. But let's, again, go back to the fundamental question here. The fundamental question is the unborn child a living human being entitled to have his life protected by the law? That is the pro-life position that they are. And that would be true no matter how much help we are or are not giving these girls. But as a practical matter, we do need to be supporting these girls. I think every church in America, if the churches were doing what they should be doing, there would be no need for crisis pregnancy centers in this country, because every church would be a crisis pregnancy center, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Thank you, Solomon. Shirley, Joplin, Missouri, you're on the air.
Yes. My comment is, recently I heard Michelle Obama complain about being ignored because she was black.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of your speakers mentioned our black people standing up, and
very quickly,
did she ever speak to somebody else? Did she ever speak to the white person who spoke to her that she claims ignore her?
I thank you, and we're about out of time, so I don't have a ready answer for that, but let me get you out these websites here before the thing closes here. LifeDynamics.com/defundracism, LifeDynamics.com/defundracism, and also Ma'afa21.com. Mark Crutcher from Life Dynamics. Mark, thank you for your research and staying by it as far as getting out the word regarding the racism of the abortion industry.
Well, thank you for calling me.
Great. And if you'll stay on the line here for just a moment, folks, check out the site. But get Ma'afa21 and look at it yourself and share it with others. Folks, this heightened awareness of racism in our society today, this is the ultimate, and you need to see it. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.